How good. Has anyone started their Christmas shopping? Put up your hand if you've started. You've made a start. Hands up high, can't see. Oh yeah, some of you. Who has finished their Christmas shopping? Fully done, pretty good. Who is yet to start? Yep, that's me as well. Yet to start your Christmas shopping. All good, heaps of time. The shops are pretty quiet this time of year, don't you worry. But I went to start my Christmas shopping this week, but I thought maybe this year I'll do a bit of a budget, just work out what I'm going to do. So kind of writing out the names of who I'm going to buy presents for. Then I looked at my bank account. Looks like this year my parents are going to get emails for Christmas. No, not really. They're actually here today. Thanks for coming along. But anyway, I do have a bit of Christmas shopping to do, but I've got to get a bit of Christmas wrapping to do today. I need four volunteers to help me with Christmas wrapping. Can I get four people? Four people. Come on, it'll be quick, it'll be fine. Yep, come on, Andrew. Yep, up the back, yes, please. Two more. Yes, yep, absolutely. One more, come on. Yeah, come on. That'd be great. Awesome. So what we're going to do is you're going to be in two teams. You're going to be working together, and I need you to wrap three different presents. So we've got fruit mince pies. We have some chocolate as well. Well, you never know what you'll get for Christmas, Meryl. And then we've got a ball as well. So how about, would you like to go on that team, if that's all right? That'd be great. And we're going to see how we go. If this takes more than 5 minutes, we'll probably just wrap it up. But, do you get it? But what we'll do is, here we go, scissors and sticky tape. And you can choose whatever you want from there. And it's going to be who can do it the quickest, but also the best. So it's a balance between the two. Okay, make sense? We'll see how we go. Ready, set, go. We've already run out of paper on this side, maybe. There's clear stuff too if you want to do something fancy. So you've got two different strategies. One is working together, one is working individually to conquer. Alright, we're gonna go 30 seconds left. Wait. 10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. All right, stop. Very good, very good. Okay, this is going to be difficult because this one is very neat and it's all in one. These ones, they have wrapped all three individually and then together. So maybe, how about we do a cheer for which side you think wins? Because I don't want to decide. Okay, so cheer for this side. How about a cheer for this side? Yeah, I think they win. All right, got a prize for you guys. Good job, you both did really well. I do need those for tonight, so please leave those here.
Thank you.
Good job, give him a round of applause. You're coming back tonight, Andrew, are you? Awesome. So Christmas. And presents. There can be a lot of pressure to buy the right present this time of year. Because you want to give a good present. You don't want someone to have something they don't like or they're not going to use. But can you imagine the pressure of buying a gift for someone that you don't even know? Someone that you've never even met? Well, that's kind of what was happening in the video that we just watched. It's called Meet the Nativity, and we're going to watch one of these every week for the next 4 weeks leading up to Christmas. And this week, we met Will. This guy is meeting his girlfriend's parents for the very first time on Christmas Eve. And as you saw, he is so desperate to make a good impression, to fit into the family. I love it up the start. He comes up to the door and he's like, "Hi, Mum and Dad." And they're just like, ugh. He's never met them before and he's already calling them Mum and Dad. They seem to be really nice people, but they're just a little bit reserved. They're not overly welcoming to him. We're going to meet them in the coming weeks as well. But Will, our character tonight, he tries so hard to fit in. He wants to be part of this family, to make a good impression and to belong. You can see the armful of presents that he comes up to the door with that he had for his girlfriend's family. He's probably gone to lots of effort to get the right gift. But these are people he has never met before. And he's in their house and he just looks so awkward the whole time. It's kind of like he doesn't belong there. Have you ever been somewhere where you felt you didn't belong? Have you been in a situation where you just felt super awkward? You're like, "I just don't belong here at all." Maybe it was just a feeling that you got. Maybe someone said something to you that made you feel that way. It's a horrible feeling to not belong, to feel out of place. Do you feel like you belong in God's family? Now, I don't just mean in churches specifically, but do you feel like you can come to God as you are, just as you are now? Do you feel that you belong to Jesus, that you are part of God's family? I guess the question is, well, what needs to happen for us to be part of God's family? If some people are in or some people are out, some people belong, some people don't. What do we need to do to be accepted by God? I want you to think about that this morning. What do we need to do to be accepted by God, to be part of his family? Is there anything we need to do? While you're thinking about it, let's open up to our Bibles in Luke chapter 2. It's going to be on the screen, but if you've got your Bibles there, I encourage you to read along. I'll be reading from the NIV. This is Luke 2, verses 4-20. So Joseph also went up from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to Bethlehem, the town of David, because he belonged to the house and line of David. He went there to register with Mary, who was pledged to be married to him and was expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for a baby to be born, and she gave birth to her firstborn, a son. She wrapped him in cloths and placed him in a manger, because there was no guest room available for them. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." Suddenly, a great company of the heavenly hosts appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to those on whom his favor rests." When the angels had left and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby, who was lying in the manger. When they had seen him, they spread word concerning what they had been told about this child. And all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. But Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they heard and had heard and seen, which were just as they had been told. Now we've just read through Luke's account of what has happened. You might have noticed there's no mention of magi or wise men, we sometimes call them. That's because that's recorded in Matthew's account. We've got four Gospels, and two of them record Jesus' birth. Luke records for us the shepherds. Matthew records the magi, or the wise men. Now, they both visited Jesus. We don't know the exact time frame of when that happened. They might have arrived within weeks of each other, maybe months. We don't know. But let's just imagine it was all at the same time, kind of like the Nativity normally puts it. Might be a little bit unbiblical, but that's okay. We'll just imagine for today. Just like we saw in the video, everyone was there all at once on the same day. That's how most Nativity scenes portray it anyway. But in the video, we see Will walking around outside and he somehow stumbles across a time and teleportation machine in the family's backyard pool house, which is crazy. Didn't know they were that rich. But when he enters, he stumbles into the Nativity scene and then he gets freaked out and he jumps back out again. Then he thinks, he's like, "No, I want to see what's in there." And he goes back in. And it's the birth of Jesus, this Nativity scene. he once again comes into a place where he doesn't belong. He's even more out of place this time. But this time, he doesn't have a gift. One of the men asks, well, what did you bring? You have brought him a gift, haven't you? Will kind of looks around awkwardly with this alfoil wrapper from his fruit mince pie, and he realizes, I have nothing. I have nothing. Now, if we look back at the passage that we've read, I want to focus on the shepherds and their significance this morning. But before we do, just a quick word on the wise men, because there are two groups of people that are recorded to visit Jesus. Like I said, the other one's in Matthew. Now, it kind of makes sense when we think, yes, wise men, these rich, noble magi that have visited Jesus. That makes kind of sense. Jesus, the king, king of the Jews. The wise men are actually recorded as saying, where is the one who has been born king of the Jews? We saw his star when it rose, and we have come to worship him. The wise men knew who he was. It had been revealed to them. So these wealthy wise men of nobility and power came to see Jesus and to give him gifts. This kind of makes sense. Tradition says that these wise men actually walked over 400 miles to visit Jesus, and they wanted to do it just to make this pun. We'll give him gold and frankincense, but wait, there's myrrh. Anyway, this makes a lot of sense. But also it makes sense that the wise men would come and visit. This is just what we'd expect for a king, surely. But why shepherds? Why would shepherds come and visit Jesus? And what image comes to mind when you think of shepherds? This is what it is for me. I think because so often the Christmas story is kind of made into kids' cartoons, which is super important and good. But this is what I think of. Think of cute, fluffy sheep kind of on green grass, and the shepherds look like he's having a great time. But I wonder if this is what it was really like for shepherds. Israel seems like a pretty hot and dry place. And I'm sure the shepherds were pretty nice guys, but I'm not actually sure how often they were able to wash while they were out on the job. And the text that we read this morning actually says that they were living out in the fields. Not living in a house in the fields, they were living out in the fields. Can you imagine that? Just living out day and night with the sheep. They didn't come home at night for a shower and a good sleep. They were out there every day, every night with the sheep. I can imagine they probably would have actually been pretty smelly. They didn't make lots of money, so they probably didn't have nice clothes. They probably didn't look clean like that. So I think the image that we actually have of a shepherd is more of kind of a hard-working man that's got sunbaked skin, maybe scruffy beard, scruffy clothes, and a pretty bad smell surrounding them as well. And it's these people, these scruffy people that live out in the wilderness that God speaks to, that God reveals his glory to. He does that through angels, and they tell them the good news of Jesus. And this is how it is in the kingdom of God, and this is good news. It is so often different to the way that we naturally think about the way that things should work. God's kingdom is based on love, not on levels of nobility, on wealth or intellect. It's based on love, the love of God. God's kingdom is for all people. God's kingdom is for all people. The wise men brought gifts to Jesus. So what did the shepherds bring? We might have missed it because we read over it pretty quickly, but if you look carefully, they actually brought lamb cutlets with tabbouleh and pita bread. No, they didn't. Maybe is that just my Bible? No, doesn't record them bringing anything. They didn't bring anything at all. Like Will, they came to the birth of Jesus without any gifts to bring. The wise men were prepared, but Will and the shepherds brought nothing. They were empty-handed. And in the video, Will states it really clearly. He says, I have nothing. I have nothing. So what does Mary say? Would you like to hold him? Will had nothing in his hands, so he was able to hold Jesus. Metaphorically, he was able to receive Jesus. And this is how it is in our lives as well. When we come to Jesus, we don't have to bring any gifts. He doesn't require anything of us for our salvation. We don't hold up our skills and abilities. We don't say, look, Jesus, look at all the good that I've done. Look how much I've done for you. Look at how successful I am. We don't say that. We don't hold up our bank account saying, look, Jesus, look at all the money I've made. I'm going to give it all to you if it means I can be a follower. We don't need to do that. We don't hold up our wisdom saying, look, Jesus, I have memorized 40 Bible verses, I know 25 Greek words, and I've only missed small group once. We don't say that. We don't hold up our moral performance saying, look how good I am, especially compared to that person. Look how bad they are. I'm so much better. I'm so much more deserving than them. We don't say that. Jesus, look how good I am. Let me be one of your disciples. Jesus doesn't ask us to do that. We don't need to do that. We can't do that. We might be tempted to. I think this is so often how the world works. Push yourself up. Show why you're good. Show why you're worthy. But we come to Jesus empty-handed. We come to Jesus empty-handed. I'm sure lots of you have great gift skills and abilities and great bank accounts, and that is awesome. But Jesus says, you don't need to worry about that. You can't come to me with any of that. You bring nothing. Anything that you have done in this world, your good works, your good life, your good bank account, mean nothing in eternity. And in comparison to a perfect and holy God, they mean absolutely nothing. We are actually empty-handed. We are all empty-handed. We just need to realize it. Now, this might sound horrible, deflating even, but I think it's actually so freeing. Your salvation, your place in God's family does not depend on you at all. It does not depend on you. You can become a follower of Jesus. You can become a Christian. You can experience life with Jesus without bringing anything. You come empty-handed to Jesus. Jesus requires nothing from us for him to accept us. You don't fix up your life first and then come to him. You come to him as you are. Like Will, when we first come to Jesus, we might not know him very well, but we'll get to know him over time. This is a lifelong journey of discipleship, getting to know Jesus. So in one sense, we accept Jesus in our arms, just like Will did in the video. We accept Jesus because we've got open hands. But really, when we come to Jesus, we're saying, here I am, Jesus, with nothing in my hands. Take me. And Jesus stands there with his arms open, saying, bring nothing but yourself. We come empty-handed to Jesus with nothing, and he accepts us with open arms. And how can he do this? How can he just accept us? Because of his life, his death, and his resurrection. He paid the price for us. He took our place on the cross. That's what we deserve for living life our own way. We naturally have rejected Jesus, and we've contributed to the hurt and the pain in this world through the wrong that we've done and through the good that we have failed to do. This is the problem of sin. But Jesus in love came and dealt with sin once and for all, and he requires nothing from us in order for our sin to be forgiven. We don't need to do anything for it to be forgiven, for us to be free from the weight of guilt and shame. We come to him empty-handed because he has done the work for us. He calls you, come follow me with your empty hands. With your empty hands, pick up the new life that Jesus has for you, an abundant life where you aren't king or queen, but where Jesus is king. We receive new life in Christ, a life free from guilt and shame, a life where we follow Jesus and do as he did as we learn to allow his love to flow through us. That's where the good works come in. It's a result of our life with Jesus. As his Holy Spirit works in us, the good things we then do for his glory are a result of his goodness, not our own. So like the shepherds, we come empty-handed to Jesus so that we can receive him and he receives us. It's then that we live for Jesus, in the way of Jesus as we see in Scripture, the lifelong journey of discipleship. At Christmas, we celebrate the greatest gift in the world, Jesus, that he was sent to earth, truly man and truly God, held together in the one person. Isaiah 9:6 says, to us a child is born, to us a son is given. It follows on in Isaiah saying, who is this given to? This is to a people walking in darkness. This is all of us. We were born walking in darkness. And to those who have nothing, who know they have nothing, Christ becomes our everything. If you know that you have nothing, Jesus can become your everything. Have you made the decision to accept Jesus, to follow Jesus, to come to him open-handed, not with your gifts, not with your skills, but to come to him truly open-handed, to say, here I am, Jesus. I am yours. I accept you. Accept me. If not, I really hope that you can be encouraged to do that today. You belong in God's family. Your Creator God is calling you to come to Himself with empty hands to receive and to be received by our Savior Jesus. If you'd like someone to help you make that decision, please let us know with an email or maybe through our website, or if you're here today, we would love to have a conversation with you after the service. We would love to help you take your next step in faith. And once we've done that, again, this is where the good work comes in, the good things that Jesus wants to do through us. We see in the scripture we read today that once the shepherds saw Jesus, once they met him, they told so many people about him. Luke 2:17-18 says, "When they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what they had been told about this child, and all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them." This is what we get to do as well. When we truly accept Jesus, we get to be part of this, what the shepherds did. Now, they didn't go around telling people about this because Mary and Joseph said, "Okay, I need you to go out and tell everyone." They didn't. The shepherds were just so excited to tell people about Jesus, about what they'd seen and about what they'd experienced, about who Jesus is. They wanted to tell all people to share the good news that a Savior had come. And we can do the same. We get to do the same. And this is such a joy and a privilege. And Christmas is such a great opportunity and a great time to do this. Many of you will probably have lunches, we'll be sitting around talking. What a great time to reflect on the things that are important in life. What a great way to maybe interject questions or talk about life or share your faith. Take the opportunity this Christmas to share Jesus with those that you love. Who needs to be here with you next week? Maybe who needs to come tonight? Who could you bring along to one of the services here? Who needs to hear about Jesus? Someone in your life. All of our services leading up to Christmas are about Jesus. All of our services are about Jesus, but particularly Christmas. We want to make a focus on the gospel and the reason that Jesus came. Who could you bring next week that really needs Jesus in their life? We all do, but who is in your life that you could bring? Really want to encourage you to think about that. Reflect on that on the way home. Who could you bring next week, or who could you bring tonight? We'll be preaching the same message again. But as we wrap up, we need to realize, I have nothing. You have nothing. You have nothing to offer Jesus. So receive him with open hands. This Christmas season, receive Jesus with open hands. I have nothing. You have nothing. So receive Jesus with open hands. Let's pray. Father God, you are so good. We thank you that we don't need to work this stuff out on our own. God, that you didn't just say, "Look at how bad you are, you need to fix yourself up, work hard, and then maybe you can come to me." No, you saw the problem of sin in this world. You saw the pain, you saw our suffering, and you entered into the world with us. You sent your son Jesus, that he would live the perfect life, facing the same temptation that we all have. And though he was sinless, that he died, that he was put to death by us. That in our place, on the cross, he took on the sin of the world through his death. And then through his resurrection, he proved true who he was. So Father, we thank you that at this Christmas time, this Christmas season, where the world in some ways ramps up, but in other ways slows down as well, where we can focus on your message, your good news, your gospel, that Jesus came. I pray that we would see awesome things, that we would see people come to faith in you. We'd see people come to Christmas services, at Christmas lunches, whatever it is. Maybe people watching online would hear this good news as well. That we have a Savior that has come. And we don't need to bring anything to him. We don't need to bring gifts. We come empty-handed. We can accept him. We can receive him as he receives us. We thank you for your resurrection life, that as your Spirit empowers us to do good things, not in order to earn anything, but as a result of your love, that we can see people come to know you, that we can be part of the joy and the love of seeing people get to know you, Jesus. So I pray that your Spirit would work in us this Christmas season, that we would have good conversations, we'd invite people along, maybe for people here today that have not yet accepted you, that you would work in their hearts, Holy Spirit, that we would see your truth of your gospel. We thank you. We thank you, Father, that you're at work, that you're doing good things in us. I pray that we would all realize that we are empty-handed and we would fill our hearts, our lives, and our hands with Jesus and your Spirit. Thank you for this time. Thank you for this morning. In Jesus' name, amen.